Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Pop Culture, the podcast that brings soft drinks to the top of the menu. I'm Kat Brown, arts journalist, author, and 4 years sober. And waving silently from behind a glass door in Mime School is Helen O'Hara, film journalist, author, and lifelong teetotaler. That actually isn't true, although the mental image is a delightful one. Helen is getting prepped for going on tour with the Empire podcast, so we're going to have some short episodes for a few weeks to give us time to meet some excellent new people in the world of soft and non-alcoholic drinks, and to give you the chance to listen to the episodes we release and to share your tips for great drinks with us on Twitter. Just search our names or use the hashtag PopCultureSoftDrinks. You can also find pictures of what we've been drinking lately on Instagram, where we are PopCultureDrinksPodcast. This week, I had a truly revolting cocktail that tasted like a Yankee Candle. Can't win them all. I also tried Johnny Wilkinson's kombucha brand, number one living drinks, which even my booch-loathing husband said was pretty good and didn't make him want to die. High praise indeed. And I had a can of sparkling water attuned to multimedia screening. That film is tremendous fun, and The Water of Life looks uncannily like Blue Wicked, which is fortuitous timing given that there is now a 0% version of Blue Wicked. Like, seriously, now we can replicate the dodgy, sticky-floored clubbing experiences of the student past with a non-alcoholic Blue WKD. Our topic today is one we mentioned back in our trailer, as one we'd like to find more about. And it's one that we were asked about this week by listener at Skadoosh on Twitter, who said, please discuss the horrific piece of cultural vandalism that is the absorption of Lilt into Fanta.
Here comes the Lilt man.
Lilt.
Here comes the Lilt man.
Lilt.
Lilt. With a totally tropical taste. Pineapple and grapefruit.
Lilt. Yes, if you missed it, the totally tropical taste of Lilt morphed into Fanta, pineapple and grapefruit as of February 2023, much to the horror of nostalgic people who could have sworn they were 10 only a moment ago. To get the scoop on Lilt, Fanta and their parent company Coca-Cola, whose titular drinks we spoke about in last week's episode with Chris Hewitt, and that's a lovely episode, by the way, and well worth listening to if you haven't already caught up, I spoke to consumer journalist Rob Brown. Rob has his finger on the pulse of food and drink like nobody else. So grab your grapefruits, pick up your globally recognised brand pineapples, and get ready for a little tale of Lilt. Rob, welcome to Pop Culture.
Thank you, Kat.
Was this how you saw your week going? Back down the wormholes of Lilt memories and nostalgia?
I try to cast some of those Lilt adverts out of my mind. When you look back at some of them, they got sort of more cultural stereotypes than a 70s sitcom, I think.
I watched one from the 80s last night, and it was entirely made up of white people.
Basking on beaches like beach whales.
Indeed, and being served Lilt by people from the area, who knows where it was.
Yeah.
There is something about nostalgia, isn't it? Where when you actually go back and look at what we're being nostalgic about, you're like, oh, this actually is a brilliant thing that we don't have this anymore.
Yeah.
It's nearly a year, well, over a year now, actually, since Lilt was moved over to Fanta. That change really seemed to take people by surprise. But surely this wouldn't have been an overnight decision.
I doubt it. If you look at the sales figures, I mean, Lilt had been in decline for several years. They hadn't spent any money on it for a very long time. And of course, it takes a lot of cash to market products and market brands. And we all pay for that marketing through the premium that these products then carry in supermarkets and in bars and so on. And I think it was calculated, quite savvy move really by Coca-Cola, because they knew there'd be an outpouring of grief and rage on social media about a brand from our childhood being scrapped, and it would drive growth in the product that replaced it. I mean, it's the same product. They've just rebranded it as Fanta, which is the point. If you look at the sales figures, in terms of what the industry would call NPD, so new product development, Fanta grapefruit and pineapple, I think it's called now, has racked up the most growth in the past year. Because it's not a new product. They've just put it under the Fanta trademark now. And they've been investing in Fanta for a long time. So it's kind of Lilt piggybacking on Fanta's success. So it was quite a clever move, really.
What were the circumstances that led to Lilt being absorbed into Fanta beyond sales figures? Because this feels like something that 90s kids will remember, from Marathon becoming Snickers, from Opal Fruits becoming Starburst and that sort of thing. But what's in play when a company changes a brand like that?
I think it was part PR stunt, really, to be honest. And, you know, when Marathon became Snickers, we didn't all have our own digital soapboxes to stand on and spout off on about anything we like. They knew that lots of people would make a noise about Lilt, or, you know, RIP Lilt and all the rest of it. That would give it press coverage and help market the new product, really. I mean, it's a constant dilemma, I suppose, of food and drink businesses and businesses in general, really. It's whether to launch, you know, it takes a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of very clever marketing to actually get a brand to strike a chord with people. I mean, I'm not clever enough to be able to, you know, launch a brand and maintain it. And I certainly don't have deep enough pockets to do that. So once you've got a brand that's established, and if you look at Fanta, it's worth £300 million in the UK. It's the 26th biggest grocery brand in the country. It's kind of a no-brainer when you think about it. When you see Lilt is just dead and gone, really. I mean, it was worth a few million quid, which is a lot of money, of course, but to a big company like Coke, it's peanuts. So it makes sense to put it under the Fanta umbrella.
How did they go about morphing it into Fanta? I thought that it was pretty much an overnight thing, but they seem to have done some quite clever things with the branding before they took it under the Fanta name.
As far as I know, it was quite a sort of overnight thing, really. It was, as far as they say, it's the same product, but it's, you know, under the Fanta branding. It was an announcement from Coca-Cola saying Lilt is no more. It's now Fanta grapefruit and pineapple. And, you know, they just sat back and watched Twitter go mad, basically, which is exactly what they wanted. There was quite a few other players that tried to score points off it. There was quite an interesting campaign by Causton Press on social media about them launching their own sort of tropical flavoured sparkling drink. I don't think they actually followed it up, but I think that probably put them under the noses of people on social media a bit more. So there was a lot of fun had, I think, by certain brands.
Aldi, who quite rightly has a reputation for doing the best own brand versions of everything from skincare to drinks, has recently launched Tropical Blast Zero, which has an extremely familiar colour palette in its branding. And I've been seeing some taste tests on social, which sort of looks like somewhere that I might go just to do my own taste reload.
And what are the taste tests saying?
Yeah, pretty strong, actually. Yeah. I suppose the thing is that lots of the pieces that I remember reading at the time were people going, I haven't drunk Lilt since approximately 1997. I can't really remember what it tastes like, but I'm still absolutely outraged. And that feels very much like the vibe of the taste tests now. When people complain about something changing, is it really about the product or is it about something else entirely?
I think, let me choose my words carefully. There's a lot of hyperbole on social media. There's a lot of outrage. But actually, is it really outrage or is it just somebody sort of harvesting attention for themselves online? Does anyone really care if Lilt is now called Fanta? You know, on social, you know, the people on social media. There were some justchange.org petitions that were struck up.
There were two or three
that I had a look, you know, trying to lobby Coke to change it back to Lilt. The last time I wrote about it was about a year ago. They'd got a few dozen signatures. I think hopefully people take the outrage that you see on social media with a spoonful of sugar, really.
Ironically, given that we're not allowed to have sugar in anything.
No, exactly. It's a spoonful of aspartame, maybe.
That's the catchy one. If only Mary Poppins had sung that.
Yeah,
as well.
A spoonful of acyl fume K and aspartame and sucralose.
That's a catchy thing that Disney was missing massively.
Yeah, exactly.
One last thing, and more seriously, really, but I suppose is it an extension of the why can't we have nice things? Obviously, a lot of the changing of names is due to having global uniformity from brands. Mm. Like, why is that necessary? Like, we had that with Snickers, with Starburst, obviously Fanta bringing Lilt in. But just any time that there is a sort of country-specific name or appearance, that's not going to be long for the world. Why is it important for these fairly massive brands with very good identity and reach to bring everything under one label?
I think basically, it all boils down to efficiency. These are big global companies. If you're essentially dividing effort, two different names means two different packets. Everything you do has to be divided in two. There's still lots of examples of products that are one brand in one country and another in another. So, you know, Lay's crisps in the US is Walker's here. It's PepsiCo owned. There's not much local about Walker's crisps, really. I think it probably comes down to efficiency. But also, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Lilt make a comeback at some point. Mars brought back Marathon for, you know, a limited edition a few years ago. Nostalgia is something that brands are very adept at inspiring in us all. I suppose that's what the Lilt renaming capitalized on, really. That's what sparked the interest at the time when they renamed it, because they knew people would remember it from their childhoods and, you know, some people would make a fuss about it, really.
Well, I think you've just explained social media to us all here, Rob. That's perfect.
Why wouldn't it sound too jaded or curmudgeonly?
Oh, no, that's absolutely my job. Don't worry about that at all.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'll look forward to speaking to you again when the inevitable nostalgic Lilt comeback happens, and hopefully with a slightly less offensive advert.
It's been fun. Thanks so much, Kat.
Thank you so much, Rob. Big thanks to Rob Brown, not least for reminding us about the fairly horrific racism running through the Lilt adverts of the 80s and 90s. If you fancy diving even deeper, I've put some articles and other resources about Lilt's rebranding in the episode notes. Please do write in if you pick up some Tropical Blast Zero from Aldi this week, too. On to this week's mailbag and feedback on Chris Hewitt's episode about being teetotal and hooked on Coke Zero. First up, a letter from Sweden. Real big apologies for my Google translation efforts here, but hey, Sverige! Johan Carlson writes, I think Sweden has a similar drinking culture to UK, and as a guy who has never drank much, hardly any alcohol, it's a relief to hear about your experiences. I never quite fit in because I didn't drink alcohol, although now that I'm all grown up, no one really cares anymore, of course. Also, like Chris, I don't drink coffee or tea either, which is a whole other set of problems, apparently. Great podcast, even though I probably won't be able to get all the stuff you're drinking over here. I'll get by with my cherry Coke, though. Thank you very much, Johan. The pressure to be exactly like everyone else is a really boring and uncomfortable one that doesn't seem to have dissipated over the years. So hurrah for being grown up and hopefully being able to swerve that a bit. As to the drinks, that feels like a challenge to me. So if you're listening, you're in Sweden and you've got some tips on excellent drinks, drop us a line at popculturedrinkspodcast@gmail.com or on Instagram where we're at popculturedrinkspodcasts and share your suggestions for Johan. Sarah's also written in about discussion about what on earth Coke actually tastes like, and says, it made me also realise I can't describe the taste of Coke beyond cold and brown, to which I would say, I think you've actually just described me. And lastly, we had a really lovely note from Alice, who writes, I'm a year alcohol-free today, and your podcast has been a lifesaver to give ideas of what to drink other than Diet Coke. I mean, that's just the most gorgeous message to get. Alice, congratulations, huge congratulations on this milestone. That is completely mega. And Helen and I are both completely delighted to have helped you find some new drinks to enjoy. If you've got a favourite drink or a menu that you'd like to celebrate or shame, or any burning questions about soft drinks in general or particular, then you can email us at popculturedrinkspodcast@gmail.com or on Instagram at popculturedrinkspodcast. We've also got a lovely storefront at bookshop.org, where you can shop our favourite non-alcoholic books, including books by us and by our guests. Just have a look in the episode description for the link, and that helps us to fund the show. Also, if you'd like to check out Helen's podcast tour with Empire, just head to empireonline.com, and also just follow Helen on Twitter. And not least because she is excellent. She is at Helen L. O'Hara, and she's got all the goss on what's going on with the tour and tickets. And that's it for this episode. Lovely to have you. Do consider subscribing or leaving us a lovely review on your podcast provider of choice to help other people find the episode and the podcast in general. And in any case, we'll see you back here next week for more soft drinks chat. And it's really not going to be long until Helen is back saying, keep drinking, because God knows we still haven't got another sign off. Lots of love and have a great week. And I hope you've got loads of brilliant things to drink.
Here comes the lilt man.
Lilt.
Here comes the lilt man.
Lilt.
Lilt. With a totally tropical taste.
Pineapple and grapefruit.
Lilt.
How the sun is bright.
Lilt.
And the sand is white.
Lilt.
With a totally tropical taste. With a totally tropical taste.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.